What a blessing this has been. The entire service, the music, you were singing some songs I don't know. Ours are a little more edgy where I am, some of them, and they don't catch the words as good as yours do, Pat. That was really good, that music. You stand here and you watch it, especially if you don't know it, you're reading the words saying, look what that says, look what that says. Are you doing that too? That's what we should be doing. Brother, I love this guy. I love his wife. I loved his first wife because Nina was there. Now it's Marilyn, and we have fallen in love with you, Marilyn. But I have a wife I love, and wherever I go, she goes as much as she can because we have a couple of girls now finally grown up. No, they haven't. But we have a couple of girls who are 43 and 40, and they aren't with us anymore. So Carol gets to go. Carol, you stand. I welcome my wife here. I love to have her with me. We were in Cedar Falls, Iowa in 1981. Pat came to know Christ in 1982. In 1986, we left there and went to Elkhart, Indiana, and stayed there for about 7 years, and left there in 1993 and went to Cedarville, Ohio, and was there for almost 11 years at Grace Baptist Church. And now I'm back at the church that I came from to Cedar Falls. I was the youth pastor and education pastor at Calvary Baptist Church in Covington, Kentucky, and had come from there to Iowa. I had never been in Iowa. Had to get my map out to figure out what part of the Midwest it was in and how it fit into the country. And Carol and I and two girls came to Iowa, and now I'm back there again as the executive pastor because I'm getting old. When you get old, you do something like Chuck DeClean does, or I do, you know. But we still want to serve the Lord. Now, Chuck DeClean was in Carroll, Iowa, when we were in Cedar Falls, Iowa. You see, I know that guy. I remember him from the past. And there's such incredible memories we have. But Pat Nimmers, we love you. We love your ministry. We love what you've done. We've loved you all of our lives. I love this guy to death. I love a phone call, and my phone lights up, Pat Nimmers. I say, how do I get out of this meeting to go talk to Pat? That's what I want to do. Let's hear what's going on. And it's always enthusiasm. I'm a Southern boy, actually. I grew up pretty well in North Carolina, and we talk slow in North Carolina. We are not nearly as passionate as this guy is. My goodness, he blows me out of the water. He's just passionate, loud, and everything. You name it, that's Pat Nimmers. And he's just as normal that way as he can be. It's just Pat. But the one thing that is the same that I keep hearing here is that at Cedar Heights, the church was growing unbelievably. I can still remember that little building there. We weren't far from you and I, and we had a great ministry, you and I. But the first thing somebody said, the communion table's in the way. You can't get through there anymore in the front rows of the church. We moved the communion table. Remember all these churches used to have a communion table up front? We had to get that thing out of the way. Then they said, there's no room for the choir. We had a choir. There's no room for the choir to sit, so they're going to have to stay up there. And pretty soon I called. We said, we got to figure out what we're going to do. And so we called the old guy down at First Baptist, W.A. Criswell in Dallas, Texas, on a phone call and said, Dr. W.A. Criswell, we got a phone appointment. And said, what do you do with this? Do you do two services? And I'll never forget that old gravelly voice saying to us up there in Cedar Falls, Iowa, on the telephone. He said, you know what? I'd do two services if I had an auditorium that would seat the entire city of Dallas. You would? He said, I would, because it makes people work. And you want them involved in your church. Isn't that good? And so here you are, two services. Praise the Lord for what you're doing, how you're doing it. Praise the Lord that people are getting saved. Boy, we did have a really good time at that conference and retreat. It was a conference, and it was good. It was refreshing for all of us. And keep hearing positive things, and let it just keep on rolling, keep on rolling, keep on rolling in your lives. My wife and I will have been married when we're this year, 50 years, so we got to talk about that. We got married when we were 1 year old, but you see, it just did it. And we got to talk about that, use that kind of as a backdrop for talking to couples about their marriages. And what a great time that turned out to be. I got to come here this morning. Our flight leaves at 1:40 this afternoon. So, I'm pretty laid back. I don't really worry about a clock. Prefer to just have a calendar, but at 1:40 the flight does leave from Des Moines, and so I need to kind of watch out for that. But we want to make sure that we're taking the Word of God and talking about who God is, what He's done, and what He wants to do in your life, and all of us individually. He knows us all individually. Interesting to take the Word of God and keep thinking on who God is. Never, ever, 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 ever forget who God is. I don't care where you are, what time of the day it is, it's God. That's why I'm here. I bought a washing machine to wash clothes to give to someone in another city a couple weeks ago. They got the thing on Monday. And the people that, I'll just tell you, it was Sears who were taking care of it, because I said, now they're in another city. I want to pay for it. And they said, you better do that here. They're not going to call you and say, tell us your credit card number. They said, they don't trust that world, that kind of a world, to do it that way. You have to do it here. And so they're in Florence, Kentucky, Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati, where we live. I took care of it, I thought. And she said, now if you want that thing to deliver it on Monday, then you don't have to pay a delivery fee of $69.99, but you have to pay it, but we'll rebate it to you, and you don't have to pay a pickup of $10 for the old one, and that's $80. I said, I'm paying for that thing. I'll take the $80. She said, but you've got to call in on this number, and you'll get a rebate. I said, can I trust you? She said, you can trust me. It will happen just that way. They know what they're doing. I made the phone call. I believe it was Thursday, to get my rebate. And I talked to somebody and I said, hey, are you in India or the Philippines? And they said, Delaware. Well, that fits too, but I guess that fits. And so I got two people there. Then they said, you didn't spend enough money. You've missed it by $5. So we really have to follow the rules, and you got a deal, and $5. That keeps you from getting your $80 back. I thought, that doesn't make sense. I try to be nice. I'm a Christian. And I was nice. They said, but you need to call the place where you bought it, and they'll tell you what to do. I called the people there. I got three people. They said, you need to call this number. And so I said, okay, I'll call this number. And Carol looked at me, you are really being patient, honey. I said, yeah, I am. If I was on their end, it sounds like the rule is the rule, the rule is the rule, the rule is the rule. And so I said, I'm going to call this other number. I called the number. And I got a person, and they said, I'm going to transfer you over to this part of our company that is Online Solutions. I'm going to put my water down here. Maybe I won't need it because it's been tough here this morning and feeling better now. Maybe I'm okay. Online Solutions. Sounds good, doesn't it? I got a person, and her voice was clear. She knew exactly what she was doing. She said, tell me your story. She listened really carefully. When I finished, she said, I have your credit card here. You're getting $86.46. I said, no, just 80. She said, no, you get tax on top of it too. She was as good as she could be, nice as she could be. I'm telling you, I said, if I could have gotten you the first round, this would have been a fabulous thing here with Sears. Wow, was she ever good. I said, where in the world are you? I've been from Delaware to Kentucky to I don't know where. I thought India. I don't know where I've been to. She said, I'm in Des Moines, Iowa. Sure enough, that's what she said. I asked her her name. And she was willing to chat a little bit. And I said, well, why don't you come to church on Sunday morning? I'll be here in Sailorville Baptist Church. So if she's made it today, I want to say welcome to Sailorville Baptist Church. Now, what I'm listening to you, though, and what I hear from Pat anytime from Pat is that God continues to introduce himself to people, and they say, I believe that. The Word of God does that. And people are getting saved, and you keep seeing things like this, and so people want to be obedient, too. Obedience in baptism. I do little things to keep myself trying to remember right. I want to do right. I don't want to do wrong. And I have in front of my Bible a couple of things. There is a Band-Aid that has a particular something on it, written on it, what I'm supposed to be putting on and wearing as a Christian, and I've written it on that. And then I have some salt, iodized salt, a little packet of salt. Would you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 5:13, and you're going to see why I'm got that salt there in my Bible. Because I don't want to forget that what Matthew 5:13 says. And here it is this morning. Matthew 5:13. Now you go get you a packet of salt and put it in front of your Bibles too. Because it will do for you. I'm seriously here. I am a pastor. I'm going to have this before me. And my phone call to that lady here in Des Moines, and she so struck me, and I'm going to be here, I'm thinking, hey, I'm the salt of the world. It's no accident that I got to talk to this lady. And it's no accident that I can talk in a familiar way about Des Moines and Sailorville. Because this verse says, you are the salt of the earth. I wish that's all it says. But the most of the verse doesn't do us real good. Guess what? The rest of the verse is probably for all of us part of the time, and some of us all of the time. We have lost our savor. We are making no difference whatsoever. Here's what it says. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing. I hate to be called good for nothing. It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You know who's getting trampled underfoot by men? We professing Christians. Christianity. And we can say, man, the enemy must be, I don't know, Muslims. Enemy must be, I don't know. You just keep going. Open your eyes. You're the enemy. You've lost your savor. That's what God's saying to us. That was written, that was the Lord speaking when he was on this earth. It hasn't changed. If there is going to be a difference in our world, if we're going to influence our world, we're going to have to be salt. And if people are going to go to heaven and they're going to believe what we've got to say, we're going to have to be salt. There's the word, authentic. I grew up in a preacher's home in North Carolina. And by the time I got through my high school years, I said, goodbye. I don't need any more of this stuff. And I was saved, and I was eight. So, you know, if you're saved, if you're God's, he is not going to let you keep going. So he would not let me keep going. So in about, I would say, 4 months of being away from church and just not going to church at all, once I left home, God turned me around. But it's that little block from 18 to 22 that we have least attendance. That's where we lose our kids. Right there, that's the block. That group is the group that's least attending any church. So I've landed right in the middle of that thing. But I had it because I thought, this stuff isn't working. It's not making a difference. I'm going to heaven because I'm a Christian. I put my faith in Christ as an eight-year-old kid. I don't need the rest of the stuff that goes with it. The word is authenticity. Our world is looking at you and me, and whether we're salt or not is going to determine whether we make any difference in their lives, whether we influence them or not. And guess what? We fan out from this place. We go all over creation from here today. And then on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're all over. We're not just in this little holy huddle here. We're everywhere. And this is Super Bowl Sunday. And I want every time I come together and I have to open the Word of God and preach and open it and say, Lord, would you take this book and use it? I'm thinking, this is my Super Bowl. I've said this over and over the years. Every time I walk to church on Sunday morning, this is Super Bowl. This is where we're getting it together. This is the real Super Bowl. Long as the Pittsburgh Steelers lose today. You cannot live in Cincinnati and love Pittsburgh. They hurt us. They hurt our quarterback. They do everything to us. They are tough. We don't like them in Cincinnati. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter who's playing Pittsburgh. Notre Dame could be playing Pittsburgh today, and I'd be pulling for Notre Dame, believe it or not. Salt. Back to the subject. Salt. What is salt? Salt's white. Salt's pure. White always speaks of purity. And so I need to be pure in my speech. I need to be pure in my thought life. I need to be pure in my actions, my conduct, as opposed to the world. I'm salt. I'm salt. I should be white and pure. I'm salt. I should bring some kind of flavor that's decent. Christians are to be a blessing to mankind, not a curse. Wherever you are, however you work, wherever you are yourself, you're to be a blessing to those people all around you, to mankind. Salt. Salt, well, does not feel good, and it's placed in a wound. And you and I are supposed to be that. When we are placed in the wound of sin, we're supposed to knock that stuff and make it hurt. We're supposed to be used of God to cause conviction and hurt over sin because we're salt. I think our problem is that we're trying not to hurt it. We're trying to placate sin, and we're trying to attract sin, and we're saying, I think I can get close enough to sin. Maybe I can get close enough. It won't bother anybody. That's not the way it works. Salt hurts. But you do it in love, always. Salt will always make you thirsty. That's why they have these cow licks. Do they have hog licks here in Iowa, Pat? Help me out with that. I found out in trivia when we came here that there were more hogs in Iowa than people. That was a trivia question. Absolutely. Carol and I love Iowa. Every time we have to come back for any reason, we just are in love with Iowa. But we love Iowa because of Iowa people. I was convinced when I first drove out here that somewhere, Columbus was right, there was an edge, and I was going to drive right off the edge somewhere out here in Iowa. There just seemed that way. I'd been used to mountains all around me and hills and rolls, and it just flat. I'd let off every once in a while, that accelerator, because of Iowa. But we love Iowa. Salt will make you thirsty. I don't know who, anybody who has salt, they'll be thirsty. Christians, are we making people thirsty for our God? That's what the Lord Jesus is looking at us and saying. You need to make people thirsty. And then salt is a preservative. More than anything else, I think that's the point. Salt is an influence. Salt preserves. Salt keeps things from spoiling. You are the sanctifying force in your world. When the rapture comes and takes us out of this world, all Christians, all the Christian force, in 7 years, it's gone. I'm convinced there's a point. The influence of Christianity is long gone. The influence of those of us who have penetrated our world and influenced our world, we're gone. We want people to go to heaven. I'm here because I really believe there's but two destinies. And we want people to understand that there is a serious concern on our part that people will go to heaven. We want you to believe in Jesus. And we don't believe there are numerous ways to get to heaven. There's just one. It's just through Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He paid the penalty on the cross for our sins. We have to acknowledge Him as God, the one who never sinned, the one who died because our sins were so miserable, and we have to repent of our sins and turn to Jesus and say, I believe you'll get me to heaven. Amen. That's what we have to do. But we have to be an influence in the world that does that. And we have to do it carefully, wisely, as this salt is described. Now, turn to Daniel 6, and I'm going to show you what I believe all of us need to be doing from Daniel 6, and this good old Daniel does it, and he got thrown into a lion's den, believe it or not, because he was salt. Here's what salt will do for you. Salt will cause you to live a life of excellence. Salt will cause you to live one that honors and reverence God. A life of reverence. Salt will cause you, when you hit the bumps in the road and the hard times along the way, salt will cause you to be one who shows a dependence upon God, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the Word of God. And your dependence will be whatever is, I'm resting on God. It's a dependence. And when it's all said and done, you can count on it, God is going to make it's significant. There is going to be a significance out of your life. And what you and I want is exactly that. We want excellence. We want a sense of reverence in our lives. We want a sense of expression of dependence upon God. And we want to be significant for the cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we want to see happen what happens here today. Baptism, celebration of what God is doing in lives, talking, discussing about the Lord Jesus Christ making a difference. Look at this. Daniel 6. You find it? Hosea? If you can't find it, find Hosea, and he follows Hosea, Ezekiel, all these guys. They're all kind of bunched in there together. And then you find Daniel. There's a new king. Believe it or not. And good old Iraq. There's a new king in Iraq. And his name is Darius. Verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom and over these three governors, and of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. This Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because of his excellence. Because of an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit was in him. Excellence. And the king gave thought about setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps, jealous as they were, sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, his professional job. Okay, we'll find, he can't be perfect. Somewhere in his professional world, we're going to catch this bird. So they said, okay, let's see what we've done. How's he doing professionally? And he was excellent. They could not find anything wrong with his work. It's incredible to me that the Bible says that. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They couldn't. Okay, so we'll find something personal. But they could find no charge or fault. They looked for something personal in his life, and they couldn't even do that. Because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. One translation says, he was faithful. He was faithful. Honest and always responsible. They could find nothing wrong. Listen, Christians, we don't have the option, or we become salt without a savor, and it just stomped on. And we are no good. So they said, we can get him. We shall not find anything against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Mm-hmm. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together, and we've come up with a great idea. For 30 days, we are going to not petition any other god but you. And if you do, you get cast in the den of lions. Now, O king, establish that decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. And now when Daniel knew that the written writing was signed. There is a verse in Psalm 108 that says, I will thank you, O Lord, before all the people. I'm not going to be ashamed. And that's what you get. Daniel rolls right off his excellence, and he determines, I think, man, if you're going to be thrown in the den of lions, if you're going to be thrown in the lion's den, I think, Lord, I'm just not going to close my eyes when I pray. Nobody will know. You know I'm praying. Lord, I'm really going to be spiritual and pray in the closet. There are ways to, Daniel says, I'm not going to alter my way with God. I'm going to keep on doing what I've been doing. My God is too important to me to compromise on this. And he didn't. That's in verses 10 through 12. There's reverence. Verses 13 through 23 is this long story of the lion's den. And this king really liked this guy. He was not a young buck. You can look at whatever pictures you want. This is an old man. This old man was setting the example. He has set it for boys and girls. He has set it for teenagers. He has set it for older people. He has set it for you in the workplace. He has set it for me in church. He has set it for you in your homes. He has set the example. God is going to take priority in my life. And I will not compromise. Amen. Lion's den or not. Verse 14 says, and the king, when he heard these words, that Daniel was the guy that they were after, was greatly displeased with himself, set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him, and couldn't figure out a way to do it. So he said, Daniel, I don't have a choice. This is a law of the Medes and Persians, and I've done it. And verse 16 concludes, your God whom you serve continually, he's going to deliver you. This is a secular king. My, what an impression Daniel made upon him. What an impression. Verses 24 to 28 is significance. Because you know the story. Daniel was not touched by those lions. And the king arose early the next morning, came yelling, Daniel, Daniel! Any chance you made it? Daniel said, I'm right here. Lions and I are enjoying ourselves. What a cozy place this has been for me. I would have loved to have seen that. I'm right here. So the old king says, well, phooey on this whole stuff. Get him out of there and throw these critters in here who framed him into the lion's den along with their kids and their family and let them die. And your passage says before they hit the floor of the lion's den, they were all dead. There is a dependence that you and I have got to have upon God. Yes, there's a reverence and there's a dependence. And the world has got to see that. And you do that as the salt of this earth. And that's who most of you are in here, are Christians today. And this is written then for us as Christians that we would make a difference to those who don't know God. That's why we want to keep on saying that. Now, most church services, they aren't loaded with people who don't know God. But some of you are here today, and you've been watching us. You've been watching every move. You're watching your spouse. You're watching your kids. You're watching the pastor. You're watching the music. You're watching how they do it, and they do it really well here. You've been watching us. Is this stuff real or not? I've seen enough of it that doesn't appear to be real, they're saying. Is it or isn't it? If it is, here's the significance. Lives will be changed. Let me just read what that king does. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. This is verse 24. Their children, their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he's the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders. He does it in heaven, and he does it on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? There is a significant thing that's taking place here. This man knows the real God. This Jesus you and I keep talking about on the cross is the real God. He is the one we really do trust. And so when I want to be significant with people, I tell you what I want them to see is my walk, my journey, my ministry, so that they will acknowledge that my God is the true God. I want them to recognize that my Savior, Jesus, is the only way to heaven. I want them to come and glorify God with their worship as we've done here today. I want to live a life that is so significant that lives are changed and people see Jesus.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.salevillebaptist.com. See you next week.